Thou shalt not kill. This is our second lesson in this subject. I want to read one verse that we read in the first message to get started with the second message. We've already read it, Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 6, as God was blessing Noah and his sons. And this is that which sets off our second message. This is God speaking. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For, that word means because. Here's the reason. For, in the image of God made he man. You are to understand that murder and that killing, that hatred, and hating your brother without a cause involves the being and character of God. Be careful how you treat one another. You can understand and know that we have passed from death, dead in trespasses and sins, to life by one thing, because we love the brethren. That's what John said, and we read that to you. Because we love the brethren. God has put in your heart as a Christian to love one another. And you need to be careful that churches can be hotbeds of ridicule and anger and choosing up little cliques. It's awful in religion today. Despising one another. Having little groups, but these are the only people we fellowship with. Well, I wonder if that's any kind of fellowship at all. And the Lord didn't die for just people like him physically. He died for all the people that God gave unto him. For thine are mine. Thine in sovereign election, Father, are mine to be redeemed. And so it matters not. Jesus told the Jews, other sheep I have, another flock I have, Gentiles. The Jews despised the Gentiles. They were called Gentile dogs. And Jesus said, other sheep I have who are not of this fold. Jesus loved us. You do understand that you would not have been in the clique if you had been back in those days, dear soul, with your Gentile demeanor. But the Lord Jesus Christ, if he can love us, we can love everybody that he loves, because he will put his love in our hearts. Because if we love him who begat, the Bible said, we should love those that are begotten of him, his children, and those that he for whom he died. Now, let's start back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number, where do I want to start? 40. 1 Corinthians 15, 40. There are also celestial bodies. You know what celestial means? Heavenly, spiritual, uplifted, the realm of the celestial. And bodies terrestrial. The earth is called terra firma. It is talking about earth. And I'm not just talking about capital E-A-R-T-H, that big old sphere that's, you know, the third from the sun. I'm talking about dirt, earth, that which the farmers plow and put seed into. Terra firma, dirt, earth. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's a difference between the two. What are you getting at? Stick with me. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Got to put them away from us. That body's going to deteriorate. bacteria is going to start, and it's going to start smelling, and it's going to be corrupted. But it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown, the body, the dead body of the person is put in the ground. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. He's telling us of the difference between that which is terrestrial and celestial. Now listen. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God formed a man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man does not have a soul, he is a soul. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who is that? Christ. What does that mean? He is a life-giving spirit. That's the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, and he's earthy. The second man we're talking about, he's not the second Adam, he's the last Adam. The second man we're talking about is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. If you're born of your mom and daddy, and they were born all the way back of Adam, then you're born of that which was made of the earth. But if you're born from above, if you're born again, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You're born of the Holy Spirit, John 3:8. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, why are you reading all that? Excuse me. I want to show you the devil's anger. I wasn't born of the dirt. I didn't have anything to do with the dirt. I was one of the sons of the morning. It talks about when the sons of the morning sang in the book of Job. And so he was a celestial being. But dear soul, he did not want anything to do with mankind. He had nothing to do with him. He makes a statement, and it's made for him. Let's see if I can find it in Luke 19:14. I hope this is it. Yeah, Luke 19:14. The man was a landowner. He went into a far country and to receive a kingdom for himself. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. All right. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. I know that the devil didn't actually say that in this passage, but that statement right there is the epitome of what the devil had in his heart when he realized that the King of Glory, the sovereign Lord of the universe, that God the Father was not going to put him as the Most High. I read you in Isaiah chapter 14 in the other lesson, the first lesson, where Satan said, I will be like the Most High. God said, uh-uh. My son's going to be like the Most High. Well, that made the devil mad. And he said, that man was born of a woman. The woman was born of Adam. Adam was formed of the dirt. And he is earthy. And I am celestial. And I have a glory different from his. And I will not have that man rule over me. Satan rebelled against the humanity of Jesus Christ. Wasn't going to have it. I'm not going to bow under that authority. And this old people are doing that today. They've been doing that down through time. I don't like my boss. I don't like my mom and daddy. I don't like my supervisor. You know, I am not going to do what he says. You need to be careful. You're beginning to follow the demeanor of Satan himself. I will not have that man rule over me. I'm better than he is. I'm different than he is. We angels are made of the breath of God. God called us forth evidently on the fourth day. Man wasn't made till the sixth day. He was made out of the dirt. We were called forth, as it were, from the breath of God. You ever wondered why the apostles spent a whole chapter, almost a chapter and a half, beginning the book of Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2, talking about unto the angels, which did God say? Sit still a minute, I'll get it right. Unto which of the angels did God say, this day thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Why is he going through all this thing of saying, he didn't tell the angels that, he didn't tell the angels that, he didn't tell the angels the other. He's telling you that this was the warfare, and I want to make it clear that, and he comes to say, Jesus Christ is the express image of God. And he says when he brings the Son into the world, he commanded the angels to worship him. And here were some angels that didn't like it. What? We're not going to worship that which is born of the dirt. That was the glory of the terrestrial. Yes, it's got a glory, but it's terrestrial. It's dirt. And I would not have that man rule over me. And so we see that God says, in verse number 27 of Luke 19, as this story continues on, he says, but mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. God said, you don't want Jesus Christ to reign over you? You're going to come up with something different than what I have come up with? And like I say, read the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews over and over and over again. It says, unto which of the angels did he say this? I'm not dealing with the angels. There's no salvation for angels. The redemption is for humankind. So he took not on him the nature of angels to sacrifice himself and to bring them any redemption, but he took on him of the seed of Abraham, humankind. That's who God chose. The devil doesn't like it. And he says, I am not going to do it. That's where all the rebellion comes throughout all the entire universe. I'll pick and choose who I will bow to. You better be careful. You better be careful. Now, look, go with me to Revelation 12. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Beginning with verse 7. There's a woman clothed with the sun, and there's a great red dragon brought forth in the first three verses of this chapter. Now, the woman flees into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's going to prepare a place, has prepared a place for us at Calvary. So if we stay within the obedient realm of God's children, the devil who is doing everything he can to destroy us will not be able to get to us, because he who is within us is greater than he who is in the world. So we have a place prepared for us, times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they might find the Lord. You stay where God put you and do what God told you to do, you're safe. God will take care of you. Now, Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. This went on in the spiritual realm. There was war in heaven. Michael, the representative of the chief prince of the angels, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The woman flees into the wilderness where she has a place prepared. But Satan gets thrown out of his place at this particular time. When the woman finds her place, the church, and she finds it because Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. He meant I was going to the cross to prepare a place of safety and a place of maturity for you. But at that same time, at that particular event, there was the warfare that threw the devil out of his place. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Boy, that made him mad. I will be like the Most High. I will reign in the sides of the north. I will be up here in the great glories, and I'll reign over everybody. And God said, no, you ain't. Throw him out and set up my church by my son's blood, by my son's righteous blood. And when he said it is finished at Calvary, it prepared a place for the church and to throw the devil out of his place. Now listen to this next verse. What does all that mean? When did it all take place? Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. This is a sovereign, absolute command from God Almighty. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The church age. Pentecost is here. Jesus Christ has made it back to the throne. He has ascended to the Father. And when the gift of the Holy Spirit has come, you will know that I have made it back to the Father. That's what he said. So when did this warfare take place? At Calvary. What did it do? Calvary sustained a place for the church that in her obedience and in her submission to Christ, she is preserved and cared for. But it also, it's a double-edged sword. On the other side of the sword, it threw the devil and his crowd out of their place. They don't have the authority that they used to have. And it says, now is come salvation. When did come salvation? When Jesus said, it is finished. John 19:30, it is finished. It's done. I've completed the work thou gavest me to do, Father. And so what has happened? The devil is thrown out and the church is established. And that makes the devil so angry and so mad. And now he's going to come with even greater fury to try to destroy everybody and everything that's made in the image of God, because he will not have that man made of dirt to rule over him. Can't stand it. The devil hates human beings. Turn on your TV. Look at the news. Look at what's going on. You got a man with $600 billion, that's with a B, dollars, who is king of Russia, and deciding that he's not going to have them people not allow him to be the czar like Russia used to be, and I want to regain all the territory that I had, and I don't care how many kids and children and women and sick people and aged people that we kill, I want my land back. Satan. It is not between Putin and Ukraine. Yes, it is. But its origin is between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear soul, you need your eyes anointed with eye salve, and you need to understand and perceive that we should look at those things which are not seen and not at the things which are seen. Anybody can see all this stuff. You can't help it. Every time you turn on your iPad or your iPhone or your TV or whatever, your smart TV, it's in your face. Everybody can see that. But dear soul, you need to understand what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. You need to be careful, because the way you deal with humankind is the way I'm going to deal with you. And if you say, thou fool, you're going to be in danger of burning in hell. Why? Because they're made in my image. And for you to disrespect and hold in disrepute humankind, it is an offense to the person of Christ in whose image they are made. God have mercy. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We overcame the devil by the Lamb's blood and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Unto the death, yeah. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, the heavenlies, the spiritual, the born again ones, those who are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, born again Christians, dwelling in heavenly places. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, those people that are not born again and is of the earth and they are earthy. Woe to you, for the devil has come down unto you. They come down to you, not to us. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But those of you who are not born again, he's down. He's coming down to you. So now you're in the place where he is given to occupy. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Isn't that something? This chapter is really rich. You need to read it all. We don't have time to do it in this lesson. John chapter 12. Let me give you some insight into what Jesus said about this. The book of John chapter 12. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. Why did he say that? Because there were Greeks, Gentiles, saying, we want to see Jesus. Well, when the Gentiles were trying to press into the kingdom of God, Jesus said, we've got to hurry up and get this salvation done, because the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Why? Because Gentiles are beginning to press into the kingdom. We got to get them some salvation. All right, now he's going to speak of himself and say, I'm going to show you something that is from nature. You got to understand this. Next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John 12, 24, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Listen, dear soul, unless that grain dies, it doesn't become seed. It's just like the corn on the corn stalk. While it's green, you pull it off and you can have some good old corn for lunch or for dinner or whatever. But you can't take that green ear of corn and stick it in the ground. It'll rot. You have to wait till it dies for it to become seed. Then you put it in the ground and it comes up. That's what Jesus was saying. I am speaking as if I were Jesus, excuse me. I am the grain of wheat. I've got to die and be placed into the earth, and 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and when I come forth, I'll bring forth the glorious church. One little kernel of corn, dead, swiveled up and dried. Put it in the ground, water it, and the sun comes up and warms it. It germinates. And what comes up? A whole stalk with many ears of corn on it, and every ear of corn has multiple kernels, and you didn't put but one into the ground. That's Jesus bringing forth the church. He said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And then we go on down to the voice coming from heaven, and it says, there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, verse 29 of John chapter number 12, that stood by and heard it say that it thundered. Others said, no, that was an angel. Jesus answered and said, this is John 12:30. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now I'm going to give you two nows. It came for your sake, because you need to understand what just happened. Number one, now is the judgment of this world. That's what's going to happen at Calvary. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's that passage over there in Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and the dragon and his angels. And Michael and his angels won and cast the devil out. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as our heavenly prince Michael. And Jesus says, I'm going to die and be placed into the ground, and then there's going to come forth the great glory of the church. Verse 31, John 12. Now is the judgment of this world. You can rest assured that at Calvary, the world was put in judgment. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You can rest assured that at Calvary, the devil was thrown out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. You say, well, that's speaking of his ascension. No, it's not. How do you know that it's not speaking of his ascension? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Read the next verse. John 12:33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all kinds of men unto me. This is what it's going to be. This is how it's going to happen. The judgment of the world will take place, and Satan will be thrown out, and the prince of this air and power of the air is going to be destroyed. And I am going to come to rule and reign. Now, what about that title of this lesson, Thou Shalt Not Kill? What about Satan? Well, what happened to him? 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7 and 8. There was a parable that Jesus set forth. It said a certain man owned a vineyard, and he sent his servants down there to get, you know, his portion of the grapes and so forth and the produce. And they threw him out and said, no, you can't have it. So finally he sent his son down there, and they said, oh boy, this is the heir. If we kill him, this thing's ours. So they killed his son. And then the father came down with an army and destroyed every one of them. That was a picture of what happened at Calvary. God had been sending his prophets, his preachers, his pastors, his teachers, his evangelists, his apostles to get of the reward of his vineyard, and the world said, nope. God sent his only begotten son. They said, let's kill him. But remember, thou shalt not kill. That really wasn't the wisest thing they did. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I told you thou shalt not kill, but you went ahead and did it anyhow. And you with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. What shall we do, men and brethren? You need to repent. Cry out to God. Why? Because you killed the Lord of glory. I told you, thou shalt not kill. And it said, if you'd had any brains, the princes of this world did not know, for had they known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. The very thing they did to gain them everything caused them to lose it all. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Christ also himself, likewise took part of the same. Why did he do that? Why did the eternal, everlasting Son of God, who always has been the Alpha and Omega, why did he take part in human flesh? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How did the devil have the power of death? He brought sin into the human realm. Yes, God said, you know, that thou shalt surely die. Oh, no, thou shalt not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of this tree, yes, it seems to be disobedient to God, but you're getting something that God don't want you to have. You're putting one over on him. Mom and daddy won't let me do this and they won't let me do that because they denied me of my privileges and my good time. Go ahead and do it. But you'll bear the reproach of it. And it will exact its toll upon you, young person. God said, thou shalt not kill. That meant Satan as well as human beings. And dear soul, the thing that caused Satan to lose everything was the thing that the devil sought to gain everything, the death of the Son of God. It says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children, all of God's elect children, are partakers of flesh and blood, we're all human beings, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he destroyed Satan, who up to that point, because he had usurped the dominion from Adam, he stole it out of his hand. He robbed man and he became, he had the power of death. Jesus threw him out. Took all of his benefits away from him and destroyed him and delivered them. He was the stronger man. He was the strong man in Luke chapter 11 that came. Let me read it to you instead of stumbling around up here. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. But and if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Jesus is constantly casting out demons, casting out devils. Then the kingdom of God has come. Verse 21, Luke 11. When a strong man armed, that's the devil, keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. Nobody can get them. But when a stronger than he, that's Christ, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. That's Christ. That's what Jesus did and said, as said in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. He destroyed him that had the power of death. He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The devil was powerful. He was a strong man, and he kept his palace, and he kept all of those that he had brought into sin. But thank God Jesus Christ came, the stronger man, and he invaded the forces of the devil and the citadel of the devil and destroyed him and delivered all of us and brought us out to where we are able to stand without fear before Almighty God. Ain't God good? So thou shalt not kill. Devil, you should have listened. And dear Christian, you need to listen. You need to be careful. You need every day to read Matthew 5, 21, 22. And be careful how you speak against human beings. Because, as we read you there in that passage that we started off with, where he was talking to Noah and his son in Genesis chapter 9, if any man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for they were made in the image of God. You're killing out the image of God and you're working with the devil. That's what Putin's doing. It's not all about just getting territory. It's not about him reclaiming his czarship so that he can be czar of Russia again and restore Russia back to its original glory. It's about the devil. It's about the devil. And Christian, you need to be praying about that. Not just about that news event over there in that faraway country, but of that thing that we are prone to do, and we need to be careful how we speak and think against fellow human beings, because we do not want to have the viciousness of the devil in our souls. We want to have the tolerance and the love and the peace of God in our souls towards all other people. By this we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Isn't that something? You have a lot of the powers of darkness upon you. One of the things that we need to see, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, people say, well, I don't know what the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I don't know why it says it in the Bible. Somebody says, well, it was his bad eyesight. No, it wasn't. That ain't what it said. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. It was a demon. Paul's thorn in the flesh was an aggravating demon, assigned to aggravate Paul and keep him humble. You need to go back and re-listen to Brother Mike's lesson this weekend. Keeping you down, keeping you low, keeping you humble. And he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He ought to be exalted. He was a great man, and these things that he wrote, and Peter said, I can't even understand them. They're hard to be understood. But lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it twice. So we understand, dear soul, that the devil is God's devil. He's God's servant. He does what God tells him to do. Where have you been, he said in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2, as the sons of God came before the Lord to give account of themselves, and Satan also came with him. And he had to tell God where he had been and what he'd been doing. He had to report to God. He's God's servant. And this all in 1 Kings, it tells us that God sent forth a lying spirit. 1 Kings 22, verses 19 through 23, and we won't take time to read it. You read it. 1 Kings 22, 19 through 23, God used the devil as a lying spirit to direct the a king in an improper way to get him in trouble. And dear soul, you need to be careful. Cry out to God. Have mercy. Sometimes those warm, fuzzy feelings connected with religious overtones are the devil, because he is the angel of light. And he will say, yea, hath God said. And you really want to hear that because you didn't like what God told you. It was what God said was hard. And you didn't like it. And it was not popular with you. So the angel of light says, yea, hath God said? You better be careful. Be careful with him, dear soul. Now, let's finish out. Matthew 25. We've got a couple of passages of scriptures that we want to read. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God has a place for him. Everlasting fire, the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. That's where he's going to go. Revelation 21, the book of the Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, thou shalt not kill. And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You will never stop dying. In the day thou eatest thereof, in dying thou shalt die. Revelation 22:15. For without, outside of heaven, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? And our last passage, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse number 22. Book of Romans chapter 9. Verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You need to take that into account. What if God, willing to show his wrath, waiting to let it all pile up so he could show his wrath upon it at the end time. What if he is enduring with much long suffering the vessels of wrath that are fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. What if God's being patient with the devil right now? He's fitted to destruction. Hell is prepared, the lake of fire, for the devil and his angels. They're going to get it. But we need to make sure we don't mistake God's being patient with them. God's being tolerant of them. What if God, willing to show his wrath and make, willing to show his anger or his wrath and make his whatever, as I just said, known, endured with much long suffering. Dear soul, God is enduring what's happening over there in Russia. It's not right. But you better be careful in saying what you think it is and what you think it's not. Because you may misunderstand and mistake God's toleration of evil as if it were God's perfect will. And dear soul, you may be on your Facebook and all that kind of stuff, you know, what do you call it, social media, running down people and criticizing folks and trashing them for everything that comes out of their mouth and nothing happening to you. But what if that's God's enduring with much long sufferings so that he can pile it all up and take care of it in one fell swoop when he says, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Thou shalt not kill. Thank you. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. God bless you.